Our scripture today comes from John chapter 20, beginning with verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comments section. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can on the website or the Christ Church app. Well, I don't know about you, I'm still basking in the glory of Easter. I am still fired up about the significance of the resurrection. Jesus' resurrection for you and me means forgiveness, hope, eternity with God, just for starters. Hallelujah! He is risen. He is risen indeed. And yet, for those earliest disciples, the full implications of Jesus' resurrection were only beginning to sink in. And one of the disciples had a particular struggle. Today I want us to look at an encounter that Jesus had with Thomas after the resurrection. Now, if I mention the disciple Thomas, what's the first word that you associate with him? Anybody? How about doubt? When we think of Thomas, we often associate him with doubt. Post doubt in the comments. We've even created a nickname for him, Doubting Thomas. Now, you may be interested to know that in the first three Gospels, we're told absolutely nothing at all about Thomas. It's only in John's Gospel that Thomas emerges as a distinct personality. But even then, there are only about 155 words about him. There's not a lot about the disciple Thomas in the Bible, but there is more than one description. Here's something you may not have realized. Thomas was capable of bold faith. When Jesus turned his face toward Jerusalem, the disciples thought that him going to Jerusalem would be certain death for all of them. One of them said in John 11:8, "But Rabbi, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Some of them were hesitant. Surprisingly, it was Thomas who responded with boldness in John 11:16. We read, "Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.'" It was a courageous statement. Yet, we don't remember Thomas for that. We also fail to point out that in this story of Thomas's doubt, we have the one place in all of the Gospels where the divinity of Christ is bluntly and unequivocally stated. It is interesting, is it not, that the story that gives Thomas his infamous nickname is the same story that has Thomas making an earth-shattering confession of faith. Look at his confession at the end of their encounter. John 20:28 reads, "Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" My Lord and my God. Not teacher, not Messiah, but God. It's the only place where Jesus is called God without qualification of any kind. It is uttered with conviction, as if Thomas was simply recognizing a fact, just as 2 + 2 = 4, and the sun is in the sky. You are my Lord and my God. These are certainly not the words of a doubter then, but unfortunately, Thomas is best known for his doubt. History has remembered him for this scene where the resurrected Christ made an appearance to the disciples in a home in Jerusalem. Thomas was not present, and when he heard about Jesus being there, he refused to believe it. Maybe he was the forerunner of modern-day cynicism. Maybe the news simply sounded too good to be true. Thomas said plainly in John 20:25, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." Now, I cannot help but notice that Thomas had separated himself from the disciples, and therefore, in his solitude, he missed Jesus' resurrection appearance. Could it be that John is suggesting to us that Christ appears most often within the community of believers that we call the church? And when we separate ourselves from the church, we take a chance on missing his unique presence. We need to be connected with each other in the body of Christ. Post connected in the chat. We experience God's presence most completely when we're together. But the story doesn't end here. The second time Jesus made his appearance, Thomas was present with the disciples, and this time he too witnessed the event. This time he believed. What else can we take away from this story for our lives? Well, notice Jesus was not angry with Thomas for doubting. Too often we think of doubt as a bad thing, but Jesus did not condemn Thomas. He wasn't angry with him. I think Jesus understood that once Thomas worked through his doubts, he would be one of the surest men in all of Christianity. I must admit that I'm a bit wary of people who say they never have any doubts, people who always seem so sure. I mean, on the cross, Jesus himself cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" At a given time in history, even Jesus in that moment had doubts. Remember this. Faith is not the absence of doubt, it is overcoming of doubt. Hear that again. Faith is not the absence of doubt, it is the overcoming of doubt. I don't know about you, but I have had times of doubt, times when I've struggled, times when I've wondered if it's really true that God loves me, that Christ died for me, that He's going to come again in victory. For me, doubt usually comes in the midst of my own heartache and pain, in the midst of grief and struggle. My bouts with doubt occur in the midst of darkness, in the midst of the storms of life. The good news from Thomas' story is that Jesus is not angry. God can handle our doubts. In the midst of life storms, we often find ourselves crying out like the father in Mark's gospel, whose son was being harassed by an unclean spirit. He said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." We can identify with that kind of honest doubt. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. God can handle our doubts. Another thing to take from Thomas' experience is this: the most endearing things in life can never be proven. After he had seen Jesus' hands and placed his finger in his side, Thomas declared his faith. It was then that he declared, "My Lord and my God." This again was Thomas's bold, unequivocal faith. The scripture says in John 20:29, "Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Thomas, you've believed because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe. I don't know how that makes you feel, but it is of great comfort to me. Jesus is talking about you and me. You know, I will probably never see Jesus face to face in this life. I'll probably not have the chance to put my finger in the nail scars of his hands. I'll probably not get the chance to touch his pierced side. It will never be proven to me empirically that he was raised from the dead. Jesus understands it is harder for you and me to believe than for Thomas, who eventually did see. And so Jesus considers you and me blessed, special, to be commended. Let me ask you this. How can you or I conclusively prove the qualities of love, of friendship, or faith? How can you establish beyond a shadow of a doubt devotion to your children? Tomorrow morning, come to my office and bring verifiable evidence that love exists. The cynic can always dismiss acts of love on your part as attempts at self-love or the need to control people. How can you prove to someone that you love Christ and love the church? If the goal of your life is for someone to show you a photograph of God, then you'll be forever disappointed. And yet, does that mean that God is not real? Some of the most endearing things in life cannot be reduced to empirical data. What we must understand is this: we had better leave some room for mystery in our worldview. Now, that doesn't discount science. That doesn't preclude reason. What it does mean is that the most important things in your life and mine will never be conclusively proved. You and I will, on a daily and even moment-by-moment basis, need to live by faith. Which leads me to my last point. We must move beyond doubt to faith. Write faith in the chat. It's all right to doubt, but in our discipleship, we should move beyond doubt. Jesus boldly admonished Thomas in John 20:27, "Stop doubting and believe." Unbelief is a normal part of life, but it's not healthy to remain in unbelief. In the early days of John Wesley's ministry, he was at times racked with doubts and uncertainty. So he went to his old friend and mentor, Peter Bowler, to talk about it. And when I first read Bowler's response to Wesley, I thought that it made no sense at all. But over the years, I have grown to understand the wisdom in it. Bowler told Wesley, "Preach faith till you have it, and then because you have it, you will preach faith." In other words, act as though you have already moved past doubt to faith, because if you're acting it out, it will eventually come to you. There are times in our lives when we face grief and disappointment, pain and depression. There are times when these things happen and our hold on God falters. And when these moments of true and deep doubt come, remember this: never doubt in the dark what God has told you in the light. Again, never doubt in the dark what God has told you in the light. I say this because it is in moments of spiritual light that God shows us true reality. These moments of spiritual light are so very important because they allow us to get through many dark nights of doubt and despair that come into the lives of every single one of us. Remember this: in moments of light, God has told you that He loves you and cares for you. Don't ever doubt that. In moments of light, God has told you that He will never leave you or forsake you. Don't ever doubt that. In moments of light, God has told you that the resurrection is reality. It is true. Don't let the darkness cause you to doubt that. In moments of light, God has told you that He will see you through the storm to the other side. Don't ever forget that. Never doubt in the dark what God has told you in the light. Remember these straightforward and loving words of Jesus: stop doubting and believe. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank You for Thomas. At times, yes, he was bold and inquisitive in his faith. Yet after the resurrection, he insisted on physical proof or he would not believe. At times, we all have our doubts. Times when we have more questions than answers. Times when, yes, we're not sure what we believe. The good news is, Lord, You can handle our doubts. You can handle our questions. You care for us. You love us. You never leave us nor forsake us. And You gently nudge us in various ways to stop doubting and believe. Lord, we thank You for this journey of faith. We're grateful for this relationship that we enjoy with You and one another. And we also thank You for the ways that You do make Yourself known to us by Your power through Your Word, by Your presence through Your Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, we're grateful for the many experiences of light that You provide us, most clearly in Your Son Jesus. It's in His mighty and wonderful name that we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, again, send them to us. We want to pray for you. And thank you for your generosity. You know, your gifts, your ongoing gifts help us to reach new people for Christ and His kingdom. You can go online, use the app or the website anytime. Be sure to take advantage of all of our discipleship opportunities. You'll find the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this: never doubt in the dark what God has told you in the light. For now, who needs to hear again Jesus' straightforward and loving words to Thomas? Stop doubting and believe.
A chicken for 2 hours last night.
2 hours?
Yeah. Still wouldn't tell me why I crossed the road.
She's a gangster. April 27th at 6:30 p.m. we will be hosting a low vision assistance workshop. Learn how to overcome barriers in daily life when your vision can't be corrected with surgery or glasses. The most common types of low vision are due to macular degeneration, glaucoma, or diabetes. Linda Crouch, a certified low vision therapist, will share practical, easy, and free to low cost solutions to increase independence and daily living skills. Sign up at the Connect Center or online.
It's great to see so many people returning to church in person. Our quarterly Discover CUMC event will be held on April 24th at 2 p.m. You can learn more about our church and its ministries, or even join the church during the meeting. Join us for snacks and conversation. Contact Chris Miracle or the church office for information.
On Sunday, April 24th at 2 p.m., join Pastor Jim and others in the movie room for a screening of The Passion of the Christ, an epic biblical drama depicting the passion of Jesus according to the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.